be warned that I do not have any adult supervision. So this is going to be another in these series where I'm going through the pile on the floor, trying to get all this out of the queue and say what I want to say and move on and clean things up. So Randy is not here to keep me in check. Oh, you can scream, shout, whine, cry, snivel, piss, and motherfucking moan. Yes, indeed, you can shove your opinion up your ass. That way Obama's cock has something to keep it company. What is it I've told you before? You know what it is. You are wrong, and I am right. It's a combination of the two. There's more than two options.
Well, you have to vote for the Republicans, otherwise the Democrats will win.
No, there's more than two options, my friends.
But who would build the roads? We have to have the government, or there'd be no roads.
No, there's more than two options, you fucking morons. And this right here, this is the Stating the Obvious podcast. It is the weapons platform from which I launch the cruise missile my intellect homes in on and destroys stupid fucking statist all around the world. Yes, I ate some more cheesecake today. So a while back here on Stating the Obvious, I pointed out that I needed to stop eating Oreo cookies because as delicious as they are, and I like the chocolate filled Oreo cookies, not the whatever, just the white filled Oreo cookies. I'm racist. I don't like the Oreo cookies with the white stuff in the middle. The white stuff is gross. I only like the Oreo cookies with the chocolate stuff in the middle, the black stuff in the middle. So I am a racist. I am an Oreo racist. I tried one time the strawberry, is it strawberry ice cream or strawberry something Oreos, and because I love strawberries, I thought those would be great. They were disgustingly nasty. Did not appeal to me at all. So anyhow, since then, however long ago that's been, a couple of weeks, 3 weeks, I don't know, I have not eaten any Oreo cookies, so I've been doing really good on that. The problem is, my cheesecake the last couple of days, but the cheesecake is gone now. I got my cheesecake drama, whatever you want to call it, got that done. And popcorn. I've been eating the shit out of popcorn lately. Watching TV, watching movies late at night when I'm too tired to move anymore. Eat a thing of popcorn and watch a movie and go to bed. So I don't know if popcorn is healthy or if I should just, you know, be shooting myself in the head for doing that too. So I need to do some nutritional research on the popcorn thing and find out if I should stop that before I get hooked on it. Anyhow, I will be going through the shit on the floor. I'll be pausing the recording in between. So in theory, this podcast might be a little tighter than normal because normally we never pause the recording. It's just like a live radio show. We hit the button and we go and I do my thing and everything happens. So anyhow, this is part number something something in the series of The Pile on My Floor. This might be part 9, maybe part 10 by now. I don't know. Anyway, so yeah, I'm going to stop babbling, I'm going to pause, and then we're going to pull the first thing out of the pile, I'm going to assess it. It either goes in the trash, or I talk about it, then it goes in the trash. So, hang in there, I'll be right back. Something that baffles me about the entire concept of the police department. People celebrate police departments. The Fort Collins Police Department recently turned 100 years old. And this is from the little propaganda thingy that was sent out. And it's a bunch of yada, yada, yada. It says this: the agency is marking its 100th anniversary throughout 2013. Highlights include redesigned patrol cars. Cars are being transitioned to a traditional black and white color scheme as existing cars are retired and new ones added to the fleet. The new color scheme is designed to make patrol cars more visible and instantly recognizable. A century of service car decals will be adhered to all marked police cars for the year. Museum displays. Historical displays, at both the main police station and the District 1 office have been refreshed with new artifacts and information. Street banners will adorn the intersections of College Avenue and Foothills Parkway, and College Avenue and Laurel Street at various times throughout the year. Commemorative uniform badges will be worn by all police officers during the year. Anniversary pins will be worn by all civilian employees throughout the year. Hang on a second. I gotta pause this because an email just came in. Okay, it was less important than I thought. We'll just leave the commentary at that. So isn't it so wonderful that we've had this police force for 100 years? And what exactly is the purpose of a police force? Now, of course, we know the real purpose of a police force is to prevent the sheeple from conducting an uprising and overthrowing the government, right? The police are actually there to make sure the people bend to the will of their slave masters. Witness the Occupy Wall Street idiots getting maced in the face by the pigs. That will explain to you, that will show you exactly what the police exist for. But the lie that is told to the sheeple is that the police are there to protect them. Now, here's a question, and you've heard this from me so many times already, but this is just another way of looking at it. Since everybody goes to public education, and since public education is so wonderful, and since everybody has a mother, and everybody is raised by a mother, and women are such wonderful moral creatures, and since the public education system is run almost exclusively by women, most of the teachers are women, like what, 90%? Of the teachers in public schools are women. And since so many people go to college, and college is, of course, the nexus of political correctness, why are there so many criminal elements in our society that we need all of these police? How is it that there can be this much government control over children? And how is it that children can spend this much time being raised by women who are these morally pure, upstanding citizens who just never do anything wrong and are always victims of the patriarchy and the rape culture? Why do we need so many police officers to protect us from all these criminals in society? Why are all these criminals in our society? I mean, we got welfare and we've got WIC and we got food stamps and we got public education. Why are people stealing? Why are people murdering? Why are people raping? I just don't understand. Has it occurred to anybody that the continuous escalation of the police forces, both in the militarization of the police forces as they get armored cars and tanks and machine guns and missile launchers and all this other shit, coupled with the constant increase in the number of actual police officers. I mean, if the only reason you would need all of this escalation is if crime is getting worse. But how can crime be getting worse when we have public education, and we have welfare, and we have the internet, and we have the smartest generation ever? The young people today are the smartest generation ever. Why isn't the crime rate going down if everything that we're doing in this country, we collectively speaking as a society being manipulated by the state, if everything is so fucking wonderful and perfect, why do we need to have a police force, much less to be escalating the police force? And why in fuck's name are we celebrating the police force when the fact that we have to have a police force is a great indicator of the failure of our society? A successful society would not need a police force with machine guns and tanks. Try thinking about that for a minute. Okay, I got to read this. Now, a while back on one of these episodes, I read an excerpt from the LaGrange Journal from back on January 30th, 1902. It was the thing about the minstrel show, about the black people doing two performances of their minstrel show exclusively for white people. And the point was that it was very racist and yada, yada, yada. So there's another one here, and I want to go ahead and read this one to you also. And again, I know that my audience is easily offended. I love looking at the statistics for the podcast when I put it on YouTube, right, for like a 52-minute podcast, and seeing that most people have only gotten through the first 3 minutes or something. So I'm pretty sure at pointing out that the fact that we need a police force indicates that our society is a failure, and of course you as a voter and a member of that society are responsible for that failure because you're a statist. So I'm sure I've lost most of my audience already. So if you've made it this far, you're probably not easily offended, but I'll tell you anyway, this is pretty racist. I mean, if somebody wrote this today, Jesse Jackson and all the associated NAACP people would go insane. I mean, people would just go insane if this were written today. Just the fact that I'm reading this today means somebody will probably take it out of context and they'll go insane at me, but I don't really care because I feed on your hatred, and I really need people to hate me a lot and talk about me on the internet so that I can get more listeners. So there's no way I can go wrong with this. So this is from, again, January 30th, 1902, back in the day when everybody walked uphill. This is awesome. I said awesome. I'm like a 14-year-old girl again. This is incredible. No, it's not incredible. It's completely credible because I know it's true. Oh, wait, hang on. Yes, I'm on the... yes. Oh, it's a chick. Goddamn girls. All right. She's going to have to wait for a minute. I'll get back to her. Fuck. All right. What is it with you girls and dropping your cell phones in water? I know sometimes when girls say, well, I dropped my cell phone in water, that's why I couldn't text you back. I know it's actually because she just doesn't have the balls, well, the spinal column, to say, hey, I don't want to hang out with you. I don't want to be fucked by you, so leave me alone. But you women are so spineless, but then you can't understand why nobody wants you to be CEOs of corporations or give you jobs or anything. Speaking of girls, if you can hear the noise outside, that's the college kids having their fun. Because after all, it's almost summer, college is almost out, and depending on where these kids are in their college career, in anywhere from 3 years to 3 months, they are going to be working for corporations in cubicles, being underpaid and having their souls destroyed. So I'm okay with the college kids around me partying, and I'm really even okay with their occasional riot, because this is it. I mean, this is their last, for most of them. There are always some that are going to get great jobs or start their own business or whatever and be extremely happy and yada, yada, yada. But 95% of them are going to spend the rest of their lives in cubicles or working as baristas. And I mean, it's over. This is it. This 5 years of college for a 4-year degree nowadays. This 5 years they spend in college going in debt, this is going to be the last moment of their life that contains any large amount of happiness, because they're going forth into a world with a dead economy, no job prospects, and they're going to be miserable little shits for the rest of their life. So I don't mind them having fun, because a lot of people ask me, you live in the college part of town, you know, does that bother you? Do the parties bother you? Yada, yada, yada. And it really doesn't. It really doesn't, for that reason. Because I understand. I want them to be happy. I want them to have their last chance at happiness. Even though, you know, they're all statist and yada, yada, yada. All right, can I please see the no adult supervision? If Randy was here, she'd be telling me to fucking focus on the topic. What is this shit? All right, more email rolling in. One day I'll learn to close the email while I'm recording. Here we go. January 30th, 1902. There is not a village in Fayette County on whose streets there are not a large element of vagrant Negroes who do not work to obtain a livelihood, and whose bread and meat comes in the shape of a handout from the black cook in the white family. When this fails, they steal. There is a law against vagrancy, and it's a well-known fact that most of the crimes perpetrated come from this source. Why is the vagrancy law not enforced? The officer who dares to undertake it at once becomes a target for the malice of the Negro voters, and he cannot expect the Negro vote. There are good Negroes in the county who would stand by him, but they are few. You may call this a reflection upon the officers, but it is the truth I tell, and no man can complain at the truth. I believe the editor of the journal can bear testimony that I do not exaggerate the facts. Now, what must this condition lead to? The people will not tolerate this always. Sooner or later, there must come trouble of it. Why not remedy the evil now by removing the cause? Eliminate the Negro vote, and the office holder will no longer fear to do his duty. You will not only be rid of this evil, but you will do a good thing for the honest Negro who tries to live a correct life. Oh my goodness. Yes, if we just get rid of the Negro vote, everything would be wonderful. There'd be no more crime. Because, see, then the politicians would not be afraid to do their job and put all them vagrant Negroes in prison. And, of course, the obvious answer here is not to eliminate the Negro vote. It's 6 o'clock, by the way. I'm getting a late start on this. I had intended to start earlier, but I was busy coordinating assorted things that I have to coordinate. The obvious answer, of course, is to eliminate the vote. Because democracy doesn't work. And eliminate the state, because statism doesn't work. And these are some more short tidbits from the newspaper in Houston, Texas, the Houston Chronicle. New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio this week unveiled a detailed, thorough and bold plan to eliminate traffic fatalities that afflict pedestrians and those on bikes. He is going to eliminate the Negro vote. That should be my new response to everything, is eliminate the Negro vote. Kind of like after that, the chief of police in Austin, after the four Austin cops arrested the girl for jaywalking and not having an ID on her, and he came out to apologize for this, and when he said, well, but at least in Austin, at least our police officers aren't raping women, it's like, oh, that was my excuse for everything after that. Well, hey, you know what, such and such, Obama may be killing people in foreign countries with flying robots, but hey, at least he's not raping women, right? The banking corporations were bailed out by the taxpayers after gross incompetence, but hey, at least they're not raping women. So, here we go. That's going to be my new one, is, well, I'm going to solve every problem. My excuse for everything and solution to everything is going to be, we'll just eliminate the Negro vote. That'll do it. Yes. All right. To continue reading. Our morning prayer today is that our own mayor and council members Google Vision Zero and imagine something similar here. How many people in Houston need to die before we take similar action, or at least begin enforcing laws on the books like safe passing distance for bicyclists? Look, speaking as a bicyclist, stay the fuck out of the way of cars. This idea that you're going to pass a law to stop, like, and again, okay, so if the people driving these cars are running over pedestrians and bicyclists only because it's not against the law to do so, what does that say about all these people who were raised by women and went through 12 years of public education? Why is it that we have to have so many fucking laws in this society to keep people from killing each other, when all the people were trying to keep from killing each other all had 12 fucking years of public schooling and were all raised by women. Why is it at no point any of their mothers or any of the public school teachers said to them, while you're driving a fucking car, when you're going past a bicyclist, pull away a little bit so you don't hit the person on the bicycle? How fucking hard can that be? Is that really so fucking difficult for people with 12 years of public education who were raised by women? The answer is, apparently so. Here's the next one. Two stories caught our eye this week. On the business page, local industry laments not having enough skilled workers in the energy industry. How could there not be enough skilled workers? All of these people have 12 years of public education. What the fuck are people learning during 12 years of public education? Oh, that reminds me of a story. I gotta tell you the story. All right, let me finish this. A profile on the city-state page describes an Army veteran from the 3rd Ward who rides 3 buses and walks a mile to attend technical college. This intersection of parallel worlds makes us ask, shouldn't we make education more accessible to those motivated to get it? For those of you who don't know, 3rd Ward is like the ghetto area of Houston, Texas. 3rd Ward is the place where the police don't stop their cars at night because they're afraid of dying. So, although I've been in 3rd Ward, I had a friend who lived in 3rd Ward, and I didn't even realize I was actually in 3rd Ward when I was in 3rd Ward, because it did not look like a fucking war zone the way I had been led to believe it would look. So, anyway, to make education more accessible, how can education not be more accessible? The government throws government loans at anybody who will sign a piece of paper for them, because of course they go tremendously into debt, and the government and the banking corporations make a shit ton of money. And of course everybody gets 12 years of public education for free. Well, it's not free. It's free to them. It's not free to the taxpayers. I'm paying for that. How is it 12 fucking years of education and people are still too stupid to get a job? But see, no one can key in on that. It's, well, we have to have more college. No, we don't need more college. We need public education to not be fucking worthless. Public education. So I was talking to a friend of mine the other day. She graduated from high school not too long ago. And remember, I went to high school, first of all, in a small town down in Texas where things are a lot different than even cities the size of Fort Collins, much less cities like, you know, whatever, Houston or Los Angeles or New York. I can't even imagine going to school in a school that big, because my entire high school had 200 people in it. I can't imagine the suffering at these larger high schools. And so my friend was telling me that at the Fort Collins high school she went to, and there's multiple high schools here, apparently the way this worked is when the bell rings, so the bell rings, you're in class, the bell rings, you leave, and you got 5 minutes or 10 minutes, whatever it is, I didn't ask her, to go from one class to the next. So when the next bell rings, the one that means you're supposed to be in class, the way it works is the teachers lock the doors as soon as the bell rings, and if you're not in the room, you have to go to the tardy desk, which there's 4 or 5 of them throughout the school, and you have to assemble at the tardy desk, and then the teacher at the tardy desk takes these kids around to the rooms they're supposed to be on and knocks on the door, and the teacher leading the classroom, the teacher teaching, I shouldn't use the word teaching because teachers don't actually teach. This is obvious from how stupid these fucking kids are and how none of them can get jobs. The teacher who is standing in the room getting paid to destroy the lives and minds of the children will come over to the door, unlock the door, and let the students in. So there's 5 quote-unquote teachers whose job it is to simply sit at this tardy desk all day and between every class period walk these kids around. And I was pretty, just when you think, because I've heard of the locker searches in high schools and the police officers in high schools and the ID cards in high schools and locking the exterior doors of the building in high schools. I've heard of all this. But that, to me, you can't just walk into class 30 seconds late because you had to take a piss or something. No. You have to go to the tardy desk and wait 10 minutes and then be let into your classroom. And this generates full-time employment for 5 more cocksucking piece of shit teachers. I use air quotes around the word teacher. This is why anytime I meet somebody who's a fucking teacher in a public school, they all think they're just such wonderful people and they care about the children and the future of America, and they're educating the youth. All of you public school teachers are just the most corrupt piece of shit, pieces of garbage on the fucking planet. I do not know a single public school teacher that shouldn't be shot. I don't. You're all pieces of shit. You're fucking pieces of shit. And you're destroying these children, and you're treating these children like cattle, you're treating them like shit, and you're worthless fucking cunts. Here's another one. We're still doing the short bits from the Houston Chronicle. It was a car that killed bicyclist Chelsea Norman in December, but HPD, that's the Houston Police Department, was persistent and arrested the driver last week. Now it's time for our cops to actually enforce the Safe Pass law passed by City Council in 2013. Yes, the police somehow or another need to magically enforce a law for automobiles to pass people on bicycles. So we're going to have what? A cop for every automobile? A cop for every bicycle? And so the cop will follow every bicycle. Do you notice how, what if it was time for people who drive automobiles to learn how to fucking drive? I've driven cars and I've ridden a bike. I've managed to drive cars for years and years and years of my life and never hit anybody on a bicycle. I've managed to ride a bicycle for years and years and years of my life. I've ridden a bicycle in Houston, Texas. I have done it when I lived up on the north side, outside of the fucking loop, not the 610 loop, but the Beltway loop, way the fuck up there. I would ride my bicycle all the way down to downtown Houston. Never got hit by a car. Almost got hit by a car once. And it was my fucking fault. It was my fault. I didn't get hit. I did something stupid. It was my fucking fault. What if people who were raised by women and have 12 years of public education were simply smart enough to drive a car without running over somebody on a bicycle? This idea that the magical police can prevent things like this from happening. And sometimes accidents just fucking happen. Here's some more. Got two more of them. As long as we're writing about politicians, who says they don't care about hunger? Tink Nathan. His name is Tink. I'm assuming it's a he. Could be a she. Tink Nathan, a candidate for the Texas House. I can't talk. Sally sells seashells by the seashore. Sally sells seashells by the seashore. Tink Nathan, a candidate for the Texas House, wants to allow motorists to collect and consume roadkill. Currently, it's a misdemeanor to gather up what's left of an absent-minded armadillo or slow-footed possum for roadside dining purposes. Nathan, 72, lives in Center Point and is founder of a deer scent company. A Republican, we made sure mention he's a Republican. If he's a Democrat, we wouldn't have said that. Republican, he's hoping to succeed longtime state representative Harvey Hillbrain in District 53. So, can we have a law that says people can pick up roadkill and eat it? Well, no, of course not, because the government owns those animals. You can't pick up a dead animal by the road, right? Because it's against the law. You can't eat that animal. Why? Well, because you don't own your own body. And the government says you're not allowed to put roadkill inside your stomach. You're not allowed to consume roadkill because you do not own your body, and the government owns your body. And not only does the government own your body, the government owns the body of that dead animal. That dead animal is the government's property. The idea, this is the sickness of those of you who are statist. The idea that we need a law to make it permissible for people to pick up roadkill and eat it if they want to, that is fucking sickness. Because to say that people need permission to eat roadkill is to say the government owns the roadkill and to say the government owns the people. And yet you dumb fucks believe you own your own body and that you're free. And I can just sit here over and over and over. I can just read shit from newspapers and magazine articles and books and the fucking internet, because it's the internet and everything must be true. It was on Google. And all it is one piece of evidence after another that you stupid fucking cocksuckers out there do not own your own bodies. And yet you cannot get through your tiny little fucking statist pea brains that you are slaves, that you are the property of the state, that you belong to the government and the corporations and the military-industrial complex and the prison-industrial complex. You can't, and the fucking police. You just can't get this through your fucking head because you're so in love with Obama's cock and you're so in love with democracy and you're living in this goddamn fantasy world and you're so fucking stupid that you can't drive a car down the road without running over somebody on a bicycle, even though you were raised by a woman and you have 12 years of public education. Here's the final one. HISD, that's Houston Independent School District. HISD Superintendent Terry Greer continues to innovate even after winning the Broad Prize for Urban Education last year. With a goal of improving children's reading skills, he has pledged to get results. Parents need to help, Greer said, by reading to their kids 20 minutes a day. Yes, parenting skills. You have to have some cocksucking bureaucrat tell you to read to your children for a whopping 20 minutes a day. Yes, it must be such a burden for these mothers to spend 20 minutes a day with their child. Oh, but that's right. These mothers are working and then they got to go collect their welfare check and then they got to go spend their food stamps and then they got to go fill out paperwork for their WIC. Yeah, and oh, they're just so burdened because, you know, they made this wonderful choice to be single mothers. And of course, even the children who have two parents, their two parents are working because they're most likely not able to get welfare. So both of them have to work a job in order to pay all the fucking taxes to keep the military-industrial complex and the prison-industrial complex going and to funnel all this money into foreign countries and foreign wars and killing people with foreign robots. So none of these parents have time to read to their fucking children. And so some fucking bureaucrat has to tell them that they need to read to their kids 20 minutes a day. But 20 minutes a day of quality time with your children would probably just fucking kill you because your parenting skills fucking suck. You're not a parent. You're a breeder. There's a difference. Somebody who fucking lays on her back and gets a cock stuck in her, and the cock pumps a couple of times, and some jizz squirts out, and fertilizes an egg, and then she walks around for 9 months eating pickles and ice cream, and then she squirts out a puppy. That's not a parent. That is a breeder. A parent is somebody who raises their child, who actively raises their child, who does not put their child in daycare, who doesn't put their child in public schools, who doesn't fucking just shove the child out of the house as soon as possible so they don't have to be burdened with caring for the child. A parent is not the same thing as a breeder, and a breeder is most definitely not the same thing as a parent. College kids outside partying are, however, pushing their limits because now they're playing country music. That's just wrong. What really cracks me up is when I hear the college kids playing shit that, like, I listened to when I was a kid. Oh, that's the greatest. All right. This is an excerpt from the Rocky Mountain Collegian. This is from April the 8th, 2013. It's only been sitting here a year. They had the Sexual Assault Awareness Month. Colleges are so obsessed with rape culture and getting women to be victims and getting men to believe that they're criminals and that they're sick and that they're fucked up because they want to have sex, that CSU devotes an entire month to indoctrinating women with victimhood status and rape culture and patriarchy, and indoctrinating men with the idea that if they want to fuck, they're a rapist. Of course, it doesn't really work because I can look out the window right now and see the college kids, the guys and the girls, and some of the chicks are really hot, and they're drinking their beer and they're doing their thing and they're hanging out, and the guys don't look that fucking intimidated, and the girls don't really look that scared. They look like they're having a fairly fucking good time, despite an entire month of trying to convince those women that they're victims and that all men want to rape them, and despite trying to convince those men that they're sick rapists. But anyhow, had you attended Sexual Assault Awareness Month activities, these are some of the things you could have participated in. We have Women at Noon, Sex Positivity Workshop, Taking the Boo Out of Taboo. In a safe, hang on, I gotta turn on the light. Because I'm getting old. It's actually not because I'm getting old, it's because this paper, this newspaper thing, first of all, is printed with green ink on an orange background, but it's also a year old and it's turning yellow. So there's no fucking contrast between the text and the background. All right, here we go. In a safe, open, and confidential space, participants will learn about what sex positivity is and how to incorporate it in their own lives. If it's a workshop that's open to, I'm assuming it's only women because it's Women at Noon, and of course it's okay to have activities that exclude men, it's just wrong to have activities that exclude women. But how confidential can it be? Then we have this one. We have workshop, Safer Sexy Sex. Everyone is invited to learn about sex toys and products while talking about making sexy sex safe and consensual. Join Before Play and Slumber Parties in a discussion about empowering yourself while enjoying games and giveaways. Before Play and Slumber Parties are capitalized. Those are the names of the people leading the workshop. Here we have Workshop I Believe You. This workshop will discuss ideas about This workshop will discuss ideas about how support people can impact healing in survivors of sexual assault. Because remember, we have to have, let me repeat myself for the upteenth time. Let me just go ahead and say, as I'm reading all this, remember, all these people who are rapists, because there's this epidemic of rape, according to the politically correct culture and the feminazis and everything. Once again, let me remind you, all the rapists, every rapist had a mother. They all came from the loins of a woman. They all had mothers. They all had 12 years of public education. the days when, you know, rapists were people who dropped out of school in the third grade to work on the farm and shit. Nobody gets to drop out of school anymore. All right. I would love to see statistics on what percentage of rapists are homeschooled versus rapists who go to public school. I would love to see that information. Just to see if there's anything there. There might not be. I have no fucking way of knowing. All I'm saying is, that's one of those questions that nobody will ask. Where was I going? I was talking about something. See, this is what happens when Randy's not here to keep me on track. Oh, yes. So we have these support people. You know, this is why the rape culture has to be maintained. And I've said this before. Because there are so many people who make their living as therapists and rape supporters and on rape hotlines and selling rape kits and the police investigate. There's so much money involved in women getting raped that there is no way in hell anybody is interested, well, anybody in the state, anybody in the colleges, anybody in the police forces, anybody in the criminal slash prison industrial complex, none of these people want the number of rapes to go down because they make money when women get raped. Workshop, But I'm a Nice Guy, hosted by Men in the Movement. In this workshop, we'll explore some of the ways that men can be agents of change and highlight the role of self-work as a strategy to confront violence. In other words, we'll teach men how to be pussies. That's what we need more of, more pussified men. Can I Kiss You with Mike Dimitres. Author and founder of the Date Safe Project, Mike Dimitres works closely with students to help produce national initiatives resulting in revolutionary change in America's approach to dating, respect, and intimacy. Okay, if he's creating such revolutionary change, why aren't the number of rapes going down? Why is this rocket science? When people come up and they say, oh, I have this solution to women being raped, but then at the same time, they show these statistics that show women are getting raped more and more and more. How does this not fucking register in anybody's brain? If I come to you and I have a solution to the paint peeling off of your walls, and then I implement my solution, and after I've implemented my solution, not only is the paint still peeling off the wall, but more paint is peeling off the wall than previously. Any mostly rational person would recognize my solution as a failure. Yet we have all this shit like Sexual Assault Awareness Month going on, and this moron idiot Mike Dimitres, whatever the fuck he's doing, teaching boys to get a written consent form before they kiss girls or whatever. And so all of these solutions are supposed to be so fucking wonderful and enlightened, and oh, we're making a difference. And yet, are the number of rapes going down? Well, of course not. They can't go down, because if the number of rapes goes down, then the people who promote rape culture and patriarchy and want women to be victims will lose their power. Here we have falsified statistics. It says less than 2% of reported sexual assaults are false or made up. That is not even remotely true. 95 to 97% of sexual assaults on college campuses are committed by someone the victim knows. And since most of the, so most, 95 to 97% of sexual assaults on a college campus are committed by someone the victim knows. If they're on a college campus, first of all, where are the campus police? Second of all, if they're on a college campus, they're likely a college student. As a college student, most of the people a college student knows are also college students. That means the college students are being raped by other college students. And wait. Can any of you out there guess what I'm about to say next? Yes, that's it. all of the college students who are raping other college students had mothers. And they all went to 12 years of public education. And they all have at least one day up to maybe 3, 4, 5, 6 years of college education. And they're rapists. And nobody looks at the system that produces the rapist and sees failure. No, in fact, the system is so wonderful, we need more money for the public education system. And we need more welfare for the single mothers. And we need more funding for the colleges, because all of these institutions are so wildly successful in creating rapist. Because at no point in these people's lives are they exposed to the concept of the non-aggression principle and property rights. Because we can't tell people about those, because the state cannot survive if the people understand the non-aggression principle. Well, not just understand, but understand, accept, and adhere to in their behavior the non-aggression principle and property rights. And finally, of course, we have a keynote speaker, Jessica Valente, speaking on this topic of why feminism matters, using activism to battle rape culture. The lack of a widely understood, culturally shared definition of rape is holding back progress on sexual assault. What are activists doing now to combat this? Activists are doing nothing to combat rape culture. I will repeat myself for the upteenth fucking time. Activists need rape culture. If there is no rape culture, if women are not being raped, if women are not afraid of being raped, then there is no need for activists. Jessica Valente is not giving this speech for free. She got paid money to give this speech. Without women being afraid of being raped, Jessica Valente cannot get paid money to give speeches about how women should all be afraid of getting raped. People like this stupid bitch, Jessica Valente, need women to be raped. They need women to be afraid of being raped, because that is how Jessica Valente makes money. Why? Why do I have to fucking repeat this over and over and over till I'm fucking blue in the face? Yes, I had to find something I could cover in 3 minutes. Odell's Homeless Gear Drive. From November 26th to December 10th, Odell's will be hosting a homeless gear drive in their tap room. Homeless Gear collects unwanted outdoor gear, essential and basic outdoor clothing, non-perishable food and hygiene products, and distributes these items to the homeless. Oh, isn't that wonderful? homelessgear.com. Isn't that so wonderful? They care about the homeless people so much that they will give them used sleeping bags and clothing. And how many times have I said this? If everybody who claimed they cared about homeless people took a homeless person to their home, there would be no homeless people. It would take 7 days at the most to eliminate homelessness in the United States. Now, of course, there's also the fact that many homeless people are homeless by choice. And this is a fact. You know how I know it's a fact? Because I've heard it said by members of the Fort Collins Police Department. And we know that police officers never lie. Police officers are some of the most wonderful people on the planet. That's why you should always obey the police officers. And when somebody like Cop Block tells you that police officers engage in police brutality, that's not true. Those people are lying to you from Cop Block because they're anarchist and they just want anarchy. You should always believe the police. You should always trust the police. The police are your friends. The police are here to help you, and the police should be obeyed because that's what the police are for. And so the police have said that many people homeless in the Fort Collins area are homeless by choice. Therefore, it must be true because police officers don't lie. They're like Obama. They always tell the truth. And here's one we can go out on. This is Saturday Night Live. Head writer Seth Meyers. So he's the one responsible for Saturday Night Live sucking. This is an interview with him in Elle magazine. And Elle asked him the question, why do Republicans seem so obsessed with female reproductive rights? And this idiot's answer is, it's hard for me to say. When you work with the sort of really strong women I work with, the idea that anyone would want to make decisions for them is hard to wrap your head around. You mean like the government makes decisions for women about whether or not they can go out in public wearing a shirt? They have to have their nipples covered up. Like the government makes decisions for women about what kind of drugs they can put in their bodies. Like the government makes decisions for women about how much taxes they have to pay. The government makes decisions for women about what kind of businesses they can operate without a license. The government makes decisions for women about whether or not they can eat roadkill. If you're a woman, try to leave the country and renounce your citizenship. The government will not let you do this. The idea that it's just such a foreign concept that somebody would want to make decisions for women, because women who raise, who have given birth to every single rapist, women who run the public school systems that churn out rapist after rapist after rapist, the idea that these women are just, they're so strong. Why would anybody want to make their decisions for them? I wonder if it could be because the majority of women are statist, and a large number of women are femistatist, and they're completely fucking stupid and incompetent. Maybe they need somebody to make their decisions for them.